It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tage Thompson's got a 2-on-1, holds it, drags it, scores! 27 seconds in! Hello, Tage Thompson. Now it's Connor Clifton. Sends it to the net, scores! Peyton Krebs for Tage Thompson. Drops it for Byram. Creeps in. Scores! Follow-up on the play by Yuri Kulik. Dahlin will leave it for Roseanne Fart. Circle shot, scores! Great pass and a finish by Samuelson. And it's 4-1 Buffalo. Byram out of the corner. Kulik up top. Scores! What a shot! Yuri Kulik. Sabres with a nice takeaway here. And the Nedeljkovic can't handle the rebound. Kozak bangs it in. Buffalo gaining the zone here. Maybe another push. Yes, there is. Alex Tuch scores! Raining goals in Buffalo. Sabres get a 7-3 win in the books.
Welcome in, Sabres Live on a Friday. A couple of special guests coming up. One, as always expected, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, and one who's becoming pretty much a regular. That would be head coach Michael Leone, the Amerks, as they embark on a 3-3. But Marty, after a 7-3 win for the Sabres over Pittsburgh, it's 3 on the road starting tomorrow in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, scoring goals is fun. Scoring goals is fun, Duffer, especially when you score 5 in the second. It makes everything a little bit more accepted in a way, because look, like Lindy Ruff talked about last night, like we made a couple of plays that, you know, east-west where we forced a couple of things, but when you're up 7-1 or you kind of just are okay when, you know, there's a bad bounce that goes against you, which again, it makes it 7-2. It doesn't add the same stress, right? And I feel like what we've seen out of the Sabres now the last three games, if not playing with a ton of stress, kind of just really enjoying what they're doing, and you know, the production has been there, that's for sure.
But the production has been there goal scoring wise all season. So if you're trying to tell me, which I wanted to talk about every year, that all you need to do is score goals, then I would say, sorry, Marty, that hasn't translated the way they would have liked.
Not the way they would have liked. But when you think about playing a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, who had just lost, you know, 6-1, I think it was, the game before. So you're looking at, okay, they're giving up a lot of goals. How do you beat them? Go out there and score more, right? So, yes, defensively, you know, there's games where you need to be, you know, tight, and you need to be really good. And they've had that over the last three games. But I felt like last night it was all about the offense, and I'm all for it in that game.
But what does it mean moving forward here on this three-game trip with Philly, Washington, and Ottawa?
Well, Philly, you know, they won 6-4 last night. So they have that same feeling of, oh, we need to score goals. So do you have to play a little tighter against a team that is, you know, just got their coach fired and maybe are getting a new sense of energy? Absolutely. And obviously, you know, Washington, that's a whole other can of worms right there. It's like playing Winnipeg, where you have to be really good in all aspects of the game. But I'll say this. Look, you know, you didn't have Jason Zucker. Jason Zucker has been a part of the success in wins this year with the Sabres. But Yuri Kulik had a fantastic game. Isaac Rosanne gets an assist. So I like that you're seeing, you know, a sense of, oh, everybody's been contributing to some of the success of late. The Sabres did loan Josh Dunn back to Rochester, so I would anticipate that Zucker will be on the trip with the Sabres. But, you know, it was great to see Rosanne get elevated and get an assist, and Kulik play the way that he has. So that, to me, is the positive moving into the weekend.
Yes, we're looking to the chat with Michael Leone, and now that Dunn has been reassigned, one certainly could imagine him being in the lineup tonight against Bridgeport, and that would change and help things dramatically as the Amerks embark on a 3-on-3 this weekend. Interesting use of can of worms. I'm wondering who's going to open that in D.C. on Sunday.
Alex Ovechkin is going to want to open it and let all the worms out and let's go. I'm starting to get a little worried about Ovi's chase for the great one now.
And really?
Yeah, I think he needs to get one of those big Ovi game where he gets three goals and it puts him back. Like if he just gets one here and one there, I know he's chipping away at it, but I'm a little concerned when it comes to getting it done this year with the time that is left. And maybe he wants to do it in, you know, Ovi fashion, where he's going to get five goals in the last two games and boom, you know, against the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he passes Wayne that way.
The Capitals have 10 games remaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the odds are still pretty much in his favor.
They are. But if you figure they need six goals to pass Wayne in 10 games, and who knows if. So there was some speculation.
It's pretty much exactly what he scores at. Like, that's why I'm saying this. And I've been wrong all year long because I'm not sure I even expected him to get to this close this late.
But it's a 50-goal pace. Like, okay.
That's
like
what he's been goals. On.
I get it. But it's still asking a lot. Like, when you score 50.
It's not asking a lot. Did anybody ask a lot of Wayne Gretzky after 15 years of being Wayne Gretzky? No, it's expected.
I get that. And it's expected of Sid to get a point last night and pass Wayne in the, you know, most point per game seasons, 20 in a row. I mean, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Ovi is there's always that one or two games that he just explodes and he scores three. And we haven't seen that of late here. So the pace has dropped off a little bit when you look at his goals per game in the last two, 3 weeks here. So I'm a little worried. 6-10, that's a big ask, and I would never bet against Ovi, but I'm starting to get a little worried.
When Sidney Crosby came into the NHL with as much hype as he had, did you think that he would be this good?
Being this good in the National Hockey League is never a given. You can be the first overall pick. You can have all the hype and promises and junior in college as you want. When you get to the NHL, things are very different. And that's why sometimes a six-rounder, Pavel Datsyuk or whatever, can be a superstar and a Hall of Famer because something changes when you get to the NHL and the game is different and who adapts with the speed of the game and the physicality of the game. I knew Crosby was going to be good because right away in his first year, I mean, think of the backhand goal on Jose Theodore in the shootout where, you know, the flair for the dramatic, like he loves that and his commitment to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But to say back then, just like to say with Ovechkin, okay, these two guys are going to achieve something that is going to be passing a Wayne Gretzky record for, well, Crosby is consistency. Mm-hmm. Most seasons averaging at least a point per game. Ovechkin is goal scoring, passing.
Consistency.
But it's consistency as well, but it's in a different way, right? It's the goals. It's the power. Like, never would I have thought that these two would have achieved what they've achieved now. Mm-hmm. Was it a possibility? Yeah, they had the talent. It was Ole Kolzig. I read in an article just recently, the first practice he was on the ice with Alex Ovechkin, he went up to Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Washington Capitals, and he said, "This is the best hockey player I've ever had to face." And that was in a practice. Mm-hmm. Look, Ole Kolzig played against Mario, played against Wayne, played against Jagr, played against all of them. And he was like, "No, Ovechkin is the best." So Crosby, Ovechkin, that is, we're lucky to not only have witnessed it, but witness it winning cups, right? Washington winning their cup, Pittsburgh winning three. Like, that's pretty special.
So Wayne Gretzky pretty much declared upon Crosby's entrance into the NHL, "Look, this guy is way better than I was at that," right? Now, Wayne is prone to saying things like this to defer his greatness, but I certainly believed him at the time, and this is a completely different era. Mm-hmm. Is Crosby, in fact, better than Wayne Gretzky?
No, he's not. And
is he side by side?
Okay, I have a hard time. The Mount Rushmore of hockey, right? Who's on your Mount Rushmore of hockey?
I think he's 100% there now.
So Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux.
Dale Makar over Bobby Orr pretty soon.
You know, and I get, like, history of the game. Like, I think we don't want to move players out of that.
Agreed.
The Mount Rushmore already there.
Babe Ruth continues to be, like, you know.
But at the same time, Wayne Gretzky took over from somebody else, right? Like,
Gordy.
From Gordy. But there was Maurice Richard, who was the 50-goal scorer and all that. There's somebody else that took over.
Gordy
Maurice
was in between, and so it was Gordy.
But there's, you know, there has been a change and multiple changes of that Mount Rushmore over the years. Like, we're talking about over 100 years of NHL right now. Right. So
but the point there was no chance Crosby was ever going to get 200 points in a season. The game doesn't allow for that, but he still has done something ahead of his peers, not unlike Gretzky did. And that's why I can't believe, I'm not trying to force an argument here. I'm just trying to make this what it needs to be. Like, what Crosby has accomplished, and I get it. It wouldn't have mattered whether he ended at 79 on this season or 87 next week or 92.
Yeah.
But because it is this round number now where he passed Gretzky, like, this is insane. People need to understand this.
I was thinking about it yesterday driving home, and I'm like, okay, so Wayne benefited from the 80s and early 90s to really get that offensive boost, right? The, you know, 200 plus points and all of that. But where Wayne at year 19 and year 20 and 21 could not keep up at a point of a game pace is also at the time, like mid to late 90s, where goal scoring went down, right? So his last few years, goal scoring went down in the NHL, the trap, the dead puck era. So I'm like, okay, let's compare that to Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby got into the league, and the goals per game has stayed consistent. So he's been able to, with the times, never had to deal with a drop in production that affected his point per game. But I don't even know if Sidney Crosby would have had it affected, because he's the guy that has the puck, that the production comes through him. And so that was my internal debate in the car driving home last night.
Crosby's had to navigate through more work stoppages and pandemics.
Major injury concussion.
And these are all uncontrollable elements of the game. But Wayne walked into a 21-team league where 16 of them made the playoffs, and a whole bunch of them were not good at all. And Crosby has been playing against much higher across the board talent, in my opinion, better goaltending, and way more teams.
Yeah, better sticks, better skates, better equipment. Like, you know, so you can balance it out. Mm-hmm. And I get, like, the whole point here is that you're comparing apples and oranges to a certain extent.
Of course.
Like, I feel that Ovechkin's chase for the goal scoring record with the lockout and with the pandemic and with all of that is even more impressive. Because so Sid, if there was a 48 game season, he needed 48 points in that season to say, hey, I've got a point a game. So the ratio was adjusted. But for Ovechkin to say, hey, I played a season where we only played 48 because of a lockout. I played a season where in March we got shut down because of a pandemic. And then the next year we played 56.
And he still kept scoring 30 goals.
Exactly. That to me is more impressive. The fact that despite all this time missing, he still was able to add up the goals. Crosby is awesome with the consistency.
If
you have a half a season, well, if you get hurt and you played 40, you only need 40 points to be a point a game guy. Like, that's the difference.
Based on when they retire, which we can't possibly know yet, do you anticipate them going into the Hall of Fame in the same year?
Well, they would have to retire the same year, right?
Would they? There have been exceptions made before.
But there hasn't been any
world and things can happen. And these two are inseparable. They've been marketed one against the other since they came in.
I think it would be very, very cool to have that happen. Now, this or that, who retires first?
I don't have an answer. I do not have an answer. Marty, I can't believe we're having this discussion. I have been such a Wayne guy.
Yeah.
My entire life. And now both Crosby and Ovechkin are going to pass in some way.
Has 1 year left to his deal, right? So he has it, but I would think that Ovi may play even longer and Sid has two. Like we probably have 3 or 4 more years at least of both of them.
Maybe. Head coach of the Emirates, Michael Leone, is on to
settle. We'll ask him the question.
He's here exactly for that reason, to settle the dispute. So after beating Crosby and the Pens last night and dealing with Philadelphia on Saturday, then it's Ovi and the Caps who host Buffalo on Sunday. As the pursuit of Gretzky's record continues, Ovi is 6 away. Washington will not play again until the Sunday matinee against the Sabres. Michael Leone, how are you today?
Doing good. I like the TV set up in the back.
That's how Duffer gets to watch every hockey game that is on, and lacrosse game and AHL game. Like, he just has it all set up that way.
Bandits are sold out, by the way, tomorrow. And so I'll probably not need the monitors, but I'll need a phone to keep watching the Amherst game while I'm at the Bandits game. So, Michael, as a young... very young individual. How would you compare, contrast Ovechkin, Crosby with Gretzky in previous eras?
Oh, this is a really good question. I mean, I think a lot of us probably never would have thought. I mean, he's probably going to get the 900 goals. I mean, it's just unfathomable when you think about, like, just the consistency. Then I believe he was, like, lockout. He missed some time, too. Then he broke his leg this year. I mean, it's unbelievable, like, this. I almost wish, like, I paid more attention when I was younger, you know, like, just how incredible it is to score that many goals and the consistency. And then Crosby, I mean... what is it going to be, 20 years in a row with a point of game? I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, but just watching those two guys, just as a sports fan and a hockey junkie, just to see those guys, it's been incredible. Kind of paved the way for the younger guys of the NHL, and both have won Stanley Cups. And that was big for Ovi, obviously, you know, finding more of a 200-foot game and ask him what they were more physical, and he kind of floats around there now, but if he gets open, he's going to score.
Yeah, that's why Backstrom said, what was the biggest challenge playing with Ovechkin? He said, telling him on the bench that he wasn't open, because Ovi would always say, hey, Nick, I was open. Like, you're not always open. But, okay, we're going to talk about your team, but I'm going to put this or that coaching question to you. Oh, which one would you want to coach? Knowing which we know about them. And, you know, that's very general about what we know of Crosby and Ovechkin. Which one would you want to coach if you had a chance to coach either one of them?
I would probably have to say Crosby just because the center position and the I play my centers a lot. If you check the Sports Logic, I play too much sometimes, but I really value the center position. And, you know, he's never really killed penalties in his life, but he probably could have if he needed him to. But I'd probably go with the center for sure.
The worried – Bruce Boudreau tells a great story about 1 year his GM, I think would have been McPhee at the time, was like, I'm hearing Alex is out all the time. I want you to implement a curfew. And he's like, I'm not going to implement a curfew. Curfews were big in the 80s, not now. Yeah. And he goes, no, I want a curfew. So they're on the road. And so Bruce starts calling guy's cell phone. And then he calls Ovi's cell phone. And it's like techno music in the back. And poochie, poochie, poochie. He goes, Alex, are you in? Yes, coach, I'm in my hotel room. Okay, sounds good. He hung up. He goes, he's in. So that's what you deal with when you coach Ovechkin.
Yeah, that's great. I think I heard that story. Someone had that like a week ago on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So how's your lineup look tonight now that Josh Dunn has been reassigned?
Yeah. It helps with Dunner for sure. We had a lot of moving parts. You know, Wahlberg was going to play center tonight. I know he's played center in the past, and he'll probably still play center. But at this time of the year, you know, you take some hits, but I think it's just the mindset of the group, regardless of who is in the lineup of what we're playing for and how the games are going to be. And they're really tight checking. And the games are just different at this time of the year. And then you're getting desperate opponents.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
That are fighting for certain seating. And in our league, it's, you know, it's a lot different if you're the one, two, or three than four or five. You know, looking at the schedule that just came out, if you're four or five, you got to play. You finish the season on Saturday, you're playing Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Probably Wednesday. So I think the guys know, regardless of who's in our lineup, of what we're playing for and the standard that we need to play. And especially away from the puck at this time of the year, it's a huge emphasis with the group, and the guys have done an incredible job.
We had a chat with Tyson Kozak yesterday on this show, and he kind of was like, well, yeah, I'm probably going to go back to Rochester at the end of the season. And but, you know, we've enjoyed him. So what have you seen out of Tyson Kozak, and what will it mean to you when he returns, you know, towards the end of the season for the playoffs and the final push?
Yeah, for us, it'd almost be like trading for a guy at the deadline, you know, because he's been up there for quite a bit, and I hope he is. He's played great, but I think all of his – you know, never coached him before, heard a little bit about him, but all of his, the way he plays the game is all the things that you want in a, you know, a depth player in the NHL. Like, he's above the puck. He tracks really hard. He goes, you know, the perfect example is the goal. He must have scored four or five of those, like the one last night, drives to the net, stops in the house. He's physical. He's really responsible in his own zone. And he, you know, he's one of those guys that you just, I call him winning hockey players, and he wins a lot of shifts by his effort and his compete level. And he has the ability to impact a game without, having to produce. And it's nice to see him. You know, he's think he's got 4 points his last three games. I think he's been outstanding, and he's he was the same way here. I mean, when he's in our lineup, he's just, you know, usually him and Dunner are checking against the other team's top lines, and they've done a great job all season. A lot of D-zone starts, face-offs, great on special teams. If you look at our kill this year, I think we're third in the league or second in the league, and that's a huge credit to those guys. And really happy for him. He's been a pleasure to coach, and happy he's in our organization.
What do you think Roseanne will bring back to you from this latest experience in the NHL?
Yeah, I think Rosie, like the last couple of games, he's been attacking the game, not kind of waiting for it to happen. I think he had a really good shot in the first period. He made a really nice play, and his ability to make plays on the seam pass and the ozone. I think when he's skating, I think it'll give him a lot of confidence, you know, doing it. It's one thing to do it at our level, but now to string a couple games in a row where I think if you even listen to, you know, Lindy talk about it in the press conference, he's kind of built a little, groundwork now for, the next game and having confidence. And I think anytime a player goes up and has that success or feels good about their game, usually when they come down, it translates and they play really well.
I mean, when you look at Devon Levi, there has been, there was a curve that was going really high, and of late it's good, but it, you know, obviously everybody's dealing with a little, trying to play at the next level. And, so what do you see out of Devon, and that, he has to kind of tweak a little bit to keep moving forward?
I would say I'm not a goalie guy. I lead on Chamo a lot for that, but I think, Marty, the biggest thing is I think what separates guys is obviously Devin's not the biggest guy. He's the rebound control, of putting, whether it's getting whistles, to get a face off or putting a puck in a corner or those things. And I think he's grown in his game in that sense, and his ability to play in traffic and play his position and find ways to see the puck. But I think he's done a great job with that in practice. It's been an emphasis on his game, so those second, third opportunities are not happening. And then game awareness of, we're extended in the D zone to try to get a whistle, try to make a save, try to get a whistle, and those things. And he's been great all year for us. We're not where we're at without him.
Quickly on this weekend, another 3-3. Thankfully, these are not commonplace or as common as they used to be in the league, but you are getting your fill of it right now. What's the biggest challenge lineup-wise when, you factor in everything we just spoke of with the ups and downs with the Sabres?
Yeah, I think for us, when we go in these situations like, last week, and you try to win the series to try to get ready for playoffs, and we kind of break the season off in segments. So whether a 5-game segment and try to win the segment, and we've done I think there's only been once all year or twice that we haven't won a segment. So try to win the first game, like in a playoff series, to get that momentum in the best of three. I think it's something like 66% of the series if you win in game one. So in a short series, so important that we come out and play the right way, that we play connected. And I think the biggest emphasis is keep defending. I think when you can defend at this time of the year, you have a chance. And that's going to be the focus going into this weekend.
Michael, thank you as always for the time. And Bridgeport, Syracuse. By the way, are you a wrestling fan? Sunday is wrestling day at Blue Cross.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I didn't know until a few minutes ago.
You need to wear a costume. You need to dress up like a wrestler behind the bench.
I'll have Vinny just be himself.
That's what we were hoping for. Thank you, Michael.
Hey, see you guys.
There's head coach Michael Leone of the Amerks. It is wrestling day on Sunday. We really should have saved this for Shayna Goldman. Perhaps we'll double promote here during the course of the show just to get her input. You can learn more about it. Amerks.com/wrestling day. Think of it as like the cage match, the two heavyweights, the arch rivals coming together, Syracuse and Rochester on Sunday afternoon at 3:00. Should be fantastic. Shayna's next on Sabres Live.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.